Hello there, boys and girls. We're going to go for a little walk in the neighborhood today. Can you say that? Walk? Sure. I knew you could. Oh, look. There's a Telco can. Let me bust out my beige box. See if we can get a dial tone here. Oh, look at that. Can you say 2600? Sure. I knew you could.
We have started. This is Radio Freak America 12. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined in studio by Mary Chan on the phone. Oh, go ahead. Say hi.
Hello.
Hello. And on the phone, I've got Rax.
Hey there.
And a special guest. I just feel honored and thrilled that he's here joining us tonight. It is Condor.
Yeah.
Yay.
Woo.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Condor. We've missed you. Have you listened to the other shows?
Huh?
We talked all the other shows. The only topic was you and where you were.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to check it out. You've been busy, haven't you? Has the man been putting the thumb on you?
Me?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, that's okay. If you want to talk about it, that's fine. We can discuss those things. You can get it out in the air. You know, the listeners can help you. But first, listeners, Rax, Condor, Mary Chan, first on Radio Freak America 12, the segment of truth. Yes, we're going to discuss many issues, and we're going to find the truth in these issues tonight. First, we're going to start with something that appeared in 2600. In fact, I believe they broke this story. Jamie Kellner, the chairman and CEO of Turner Broadcasting, made a crazy, wild statement. It was zany. In response to a question on why personal video recorders were bad for the industry, Kellner responded, "Because of the ad skips, it's theft. Your contract with the network when you get the show is you're going to watch the spots. Otherwise, you couldn't get the show on an ad-supported basis. Anytime you skip a commercial or watch the button..." What? "Anytime you skip a commercial or watch the button, you're actually stealing the programming." I don't understand that.
What about PBS?
He's not talking about PBS. He's talking about ad... supported programming. So, what he's saying is, even though I don't understand, watch the button. Anyways.
Did it already.
Yeah. What he's saying is that you're a thief if you use a VCR or a PVR, record it, and skip the commercials. Now, do you think those big wigs actually say stuff, actually make empty threats? Do you think they say things that don't follow through? Well, you know what? They do. Ads... key to AOL set-top plans. What does that mean? It means that a personal video recorder, a PVR like TiVo and Replay TV, is going to be created by AOL Time Warner. And guess what? It will not allow anyone to skip commercials. The truth, gentlemen and women. The truth is coming out. He did not make an empty threat. They're actually going to follow through.
Well, that's just that one. But the thing is, they're going to try to take and force all the others. There was already something that was it called Sonic Blue or whatever in California has to, by court order, they have to record the viewing habits and some personal information about people who are using their service, and they have to turn that in this as part of this trial because they're saying that people are stealing the content from them. And there's actually a fair use thing under the copyright law. It's called time shifting. for personal use.
Right.
And you can legally, for your own personal use, time shift it by, you know, you're going to work and, you know, your favorite soap opera is coming on or whatever, right? So you can record it, watch it later when you get home. You know, you got to, you know, do whatever, and the baseball game's on, so you can record the baseball game and watch it later. That's perfectly legal under copyright law.
That was one of the arguments to get VCRs, you know, to keep VCRs legal. They, you know, they were fighting VCRs left and right.
Right, and now, you know, about a third of the market for the movie industry is, you know, VHS tapes and DVDs and everything, and they just have to adapt to it. But, you know, big money is behind this, and they are just buying, you know, they're buying politicians. So that's, you know, everyone calls, what's his name, Senator Fritz Hollings. They call him Senator Disney.
Yeah.
He's pretty much in the pocket of Disney Corporation. Poor Walt, you know, he had this great vision. You know, then they put an accountant in charge of Walt Disney, you know, so now no one messes with the mouse because they'll just sue your ass off.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, there's more to this truth. Much more. This new PVR that won't let you skip commercials would actually be a double whammy because guess what? Big companies are already using something called a digital time machine. What is that, you ask?
What is that?
A digital time machine. What it does, basically, first of all, they're made by a San Jose-based Prime Image. And what it does, it analyzes TV shows frame by frame and removes duplicate frames. So let's say in a half-hour show, you get, what, 22 minutes a show, 8 minutes of commercials? They can get an extra spot in there. So what they do is they delete redundant frames using this digital time machine and shove another commercial in there. And make you watch it, or make you try to skip it with your PVR. So you know what? They're already screwing you, and they're going to screw you again, because you're going to have to watch one extra commercial, and you won't be able to skip a darn thing.
Remember, that was part of the premise in Mac's Headroom, you know, was the TV stations, you know, the television stations ended up being these huge mega conglomerates, and they had these blipverts, you know, little short advertisements, but they found that... you know, you can ram it at someone, and you know, within a few seconds, you can put like a 1 minute commercial in like 5 seconds or something, and people don't have time to hit the pause button or pass beyond it. And that was part of the whole premise in the thing there. Whatever the channel was, but good old blipverts.
Yeah, well, they're here. They exist, and they're getting stuffed in as we speak. They're getting stuffed into your TV programming.
The Max Headroom is what, like 5 minutes into the future?
I don't remember, but it's darn close now, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, first truth on the segment O Truth, folks. Next, we've got some new privacy bills. A little privacy law from your old buddy, Representative Cliff Stearns.
You got to tell people what that is.
I am getting to that. Several U.S. lawmakers introduced a long-awaited privacy bill Wednesday that would allow U.S. businesses to share information about customers who have not explicitly forbidden them to do so.
Is that what Quest did?
Yes. Fail open. Quest said, hey, if you don't tell us, we're just going to go ahead and share it. Well, apparently, Representative Stearns has introduced this bill. And you know what they say? Do you know what sponsors say? They say the bill would establish basic privacy protections for consumers while minimizing the impact on business. Well, it sounds to me like it's not establishing basic privacy protections. It's eliminating any and all privacy protections. It's unbelievable. How can they expect to say something like that? So utterly opposite of what it really is.
Well, euphemistically speaking.
Ugh. It's a total... polar opposite. Now, I think we have a quote from Representative Stearns, who is from Florida. Quote, the underlying principle that anchors this bill is do no harm. Well, Representative Stearns, all it does is cause harm. That's all it does. I see no good of this.
It's good. Makes corporate America more money.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? And then they get a little more money in their campaign funds. Let's see. Rick Boucher, B-O-U-C-H-E-R. Boucher? Boucher?
Hey.
Thank you. A Virginia Democrat. I'll predict a much greater level of internet usage with these privacy policies in place. Well, no frickin' duh you're going to see a lot of internet usage, because your information is going to be floating everywhere in every company, and everybody's going to be using it to mass market to you, to target marketing. It's going to, you know what? The internet usage is going to increase, and it's all going to be bad.
So you're going to have to say frick instead of other words online.
Yeah, well, I'm trying not to swear. Because sometimes these truths can be upsetting. But that's why we're here. That's why we're telling them to you, our listeners, because we care about you. We want you to be... You know, I read something great today on the HackerMind message board, and it was from StankDog. And it's perfect. It's perfect for the segment of truth. He said he doesn't want people to be reactive. He wants people to be educated, and he wants people to do something about it if there's something that pisses him off, that's wrong, that's going to affect them negatively in the future. Don't be reactive like security in the U.S. after 9/11. Be proactive. That's why I wrote my congressman about the about CARP. That's why we're doing this radio show. I'm not going to sit and whine about wanting more hacker radio. I'm going to make it. And you know what? I'm going to use it to get the truth out. And that's why we're having the segment of truth. Next, Singular has WAP-enabled phones. Web application, was it protocol or programming?
Protocol, but...
It is? It is protocol?
Yeah.
They have, basically, you can surf the web on your phone, and you have to go to special websites that are coded such, so they're small enough to fit on your phone. Apparently, a Singular wireless spokesman said that, to his knowledge, the company was not filtering any websites, but a couple other employees said, no, that's not true, they are. And then it's reported, now this is, of course, take all of this with a grain of salt, it is the media. If everything in this article is true, the authors of this article tried to go to WAP.sex.com on a Verizon, Nextel, and a Sprint PCS wireless phone, and it worked flawlessly. Then they tried it on a Singular phone, and guess what? It did not work. But the Singular wireless spokesman said, to his knowledge, the company was not filtering any websites. The truth, listeners.
And porn.
Truth and porn. I got nothing against porn. If you want to...
Obviously.
If you want... You know what? You can't even look at porn on your freaking cell phone anyways. What are you going to see on a little dot matrix on this little LCD? What are you going
to
see? Nothing.
It's
even
red.
If it's color. You're
okay.
Not... What, Condor?
Put in the subway.
Excuse me?
Subway.
Subway?
Subway. What about a subway?
The sandwiches?
No. What are you going to do? Watch it on your cell phone in the subway?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be sitting at the bus stop, you know, chilling, waiting for the short bus, checking out your porn on your phone? No, you're not going to see Jack. Maybe you could read textual porn, but for all you know, that could be just, you know, the smut you get at the grocery store checkout line.
Here's the thing, though. Well, there's another thing, too. I mean, I was reading somewhere, too, that Circle K Corporation basically removed all adult magazines to be family-friendly because some Bible-thumping group from Florida threatened the boycott of their organization.
Oh, the one who burned the Harry Potter books, too. And they just take out all the fun out of life. You know,
yeah, no doubt. Where am I going to get my porn now? I can't get it at Circle K. That's
absurd. The thing is, well, there's always 7-Eleven.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the thing is, you know, that... The country was founded by Puritans. You know, Europe doesn't have these kind of hang-ups because they got rid of their Puritans several hundred years ago.
Yeah, they sent them over here.
So you go into a lot of these places, you know, a lot of other places. I mean, even Britain. Britain's pretty, you know, stuffy shirt, tight collar type of thing and that. And, you know, there's, you know, it's not done just for gratuitous, you know, nudity and that, but there's even been full frontal nudity on Monty Python. I mean, come on, and that was a while ago. And that, but you know, they're not as hung up as we are. There was, I remember years ago, there was an ad for Logitech. Logitech is out of either France or Italy originally, and they had for a wireless mouse. And they had this picture of a little baby boy in a diaper, you know, with this look of, you know, he's really unhappy. And you flip the page, and you know, anyway, on the top of the advertisement, it says something or other about, you know, being constrained or whatever else, and that, and it was for advertising their mouse, right? And the next page, you flipped it over, and these computer ads, and there's that same little boy, buck naked, you know, and he's shooting up just like a fountain there, and he's got this big old smile on his face, and says, isn't it great not to have restrictions or whatever? And that caused so much shit that you would not believe. I mean, Logitech took so much heat for that. Europe had no problem with that. I mean, we are just so backward, so
repressed.
Repressed, yeah. On that, you know, it's just beaten into us from, you know, hundreds of years. That it's just amazing.
I thought they were just smarter than us. I thought that was the whole thing.
I always hear about this, though. I remember as a kid, I used to read this book, and I don't know, it's a little children's book, and I'm once seeing little boys in some weird fantasy world, and I guess he's naked or something. And so many people had an outrage about the fact they're showing this little boy's, you know, wee-wee, like, in a children's book. And it's just ridiculous
most
of the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Waldo or something?
No, it wasn't Waldo. This was involved men baking a cake or something weird like that. I don't know. I was five.
Sounds
you know?
Kinky. So yes, we are a repressed nation. We like to hide the truth, but not on Radio Freak America, found at oldschoolfreak.com. We like the truth. That's why we're having this segment of truth. Now, the last part on the segment of truth, listeners, this is a chapter out of one of my friend's criminal justice textbooks. Part 4, Hacking, Cracking, Freaking. And I'm going to read some definitions and some characteristics of the computer underground. And then we're going to see if that's true or not. So, out of this criminal justice textbook, a hacker is a person who has a great deal of knowledge and expertise in the field of computing. They can solve computing problems and help resolve computer security problems. A cracker is a person who has the knowledge and skills to surreptitiously enter computer systems, usually with the intent to damage files, crash machines, and/or disrupt system operations. A freaker is a person with the skills to break into telecommunication systems. Now, let's stop there before we go into the characteristics of the computer culture of hackers. Those definitions, are they true? Do they speak of truth?
I can't take Duel anywhere in public anymore. Fear what he's going to do if he sees a telephone.
What does that mean?
Oh my God, he's wearing the telephone. You're like, oh, and you run towards it.
But I don't, I'm not breaking into telecommunication systems. I'm just yeah, exploring the phone systems, sometimes making a free local call, that's it. I mean, I could get that if I asked. You can get that at a courtesy phone, for crying out loud. So, you know, that's all I'm doing. How about the other ones? Hacker and cracker. Let's see. Hacker, great deal of knowledge and expertise in the field of computing. Solve problems. Cracker, damage files, crash machines. I think that's a bunch of crap. I think it's, personally, I think the truth is that a hacker is somebody who likes to explore technology, push technology to its limits, and there's no such thing as a cracker. I think that the other is a criminal, personally.
Well, here's I've got a book that I picked up. It's called Active Defense, a comprehensive guide to network security. And they've got a chapter that starts out with Think Like an Attacker. And after I get done reading this, we'll talk about this. But I think, you know, we shouldn't fall prey to what the media is doing and labeling everyone. You know, we'll call them attackers. And the book does for like the rest of this chapter. Then through the rest of the book, they call them hackers. But so it says people from trade magazines to Hollywood movie makers often use the words attacker, hacker, and cracker interchangeably. The phrase quote "we got hacked" has come to mean we were attacked. However, there are some strong distinctions between the three terms, and understanding the difference will help you understand who is trying to help reinforce your security posture and who's trying to infiltrate it. An attacker is someone who looks to steal or disrupt your assets. An attacker may be technically adept or a rank amateur. An attacker best resembles a spy or a crook. The original meaning of a hacker was someone with a deep understanding of computers and or networking. Hackers are not satisfied with simply executing a program. They need to understand all the nuances of how it works. A hacker is someone who feels the need to go beyond the obvious. The art of hacking can either be positive or negative, depending on the personalities and motivations. Hacking has become its own subculture with its own language and accepted social practices. It's probably human nature that motivates people outside of the subculture to identify hackers as attackers or even anarchists. In my opinion, however, hackers are more like revolutionaries. History teems with individuals whose motivation was beyond the understanding of the mainstream culture of their time. Da Vinci, Galileo, Byron, Mozart, Tesla were all considered quite odd and out of step with this accepted social norm. In the information age, this revolutionary role is being filled by individuals we call hackers. Hackers tend not to take statements at face values. For example, when a vendor claims, quote, our product is 100% secure, unquote, a hacker may take this statement as a personal challenge. What a hacker chooses to do with the information uncovered, however, is what determines what color hat a particular hacker wears. To distinguish between hackers who are simply attempting to further their understanding of any information system and those who use the knowledge to illegally or unethically penetrate systems, some in the computer industry use the term cracker to refer to the latter. This is an attempt to preserve the traditional meaning of the term hacker, but this effort has mostly been unsuccessful. Occasionally, publications will still use the term. The law, however, does not recognize the difference in intent, only the similarity of behaviors of unauthorized system penetration. So I say, let's call a spade a spade. If someone's, you know, breaking in to do something, if they're saying they're attacking the assets, disrupting the system, they're an attacker.
Yes, an attacker, a criminal, not a cracker. That's just another media term.
Cracker just doesn't sound as good.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Condor.
Sounds lame. I don't know. Cracker.
I think of that slang term, you know, for white trash yokels.
You can't say white trash anymore. That's not politically correct either.
I guess
you have to say Caucasian rubbish now or something.
Well, I think the listeners know the truth about what a hacker is. I think they have.
I say we start it right here. Let's call them. If you're disrupting something, you're an attacker. You're not a hacker. You're not a cracker. You're not a freak. You're an attacker. You're attacking something.
Exactly.
You're a bad thing.
Yes. Bad, bad.
Let's start it right now. Call them attackers.
I concur.
Ditto.
Now, I want to read, this is actually very entertaining, this section, C, characteristics of the computer, quote, computer culture of hackers and crackers include, dot, dot, dot. Now, there's how many here? There's nine. Nine characteristics, and I'm going to read them to you, and it's very entertaining. One, intelligence. They quickly learn and adapt to technological innovations and processes. Now, that's nothing can be more accurate. Two, it gets fun. Arrogance, the feeling of superiority over others, particularly in the technological arena. Three, egocentric. Their vocational and recreational lives revolve around computer-related interests.
Guilty as charged, guys.
Now this one's true, and I'm sure all you single hackers are sad that it is. Four, male dominated. While there are some female crackers, I don't like that.
Attackers.
Whatever. The practice is clearly dominated by males, and that's true.
I got your computer at Radio Shack once, remember?
You did? Oh, we didn't talk about that.
No,
you got into that radio?
Later.
Yeah, later. Okay, five, elitist. View of self-superiority. I guess that's where elite comes in. Six, quote, techno-abusive. That is, they will aggressively criticize those who have lesser computer skills or who make mistakes of etiquette on the Internet. Seven, I'm saving up all my comments for the end, by the way. Seven, collectors of information or data, typically with no intent of using or abusing it, but having the data or information available as an electronic trophy. Eight, little or no self-responsibility. This is a quote from Denning. In placing the blame for their intrusions on their victims, hackers fail to acknowledge how their own actions have contributed to the computer security problem. That's kind of true. Nine, hypocrisy. They will widely distribute information they take from others. The hacker ethic of all information should be free. That's right, Radio Freak America. But carefully guard access to their own files and get upset, sometimes revengeful, if information about them is distributed. So, those are the characteristics. That's, you know what, listeners? That's what you're made up of. All in a nice little, you know, numbered list. Let's go through these. First of all, intelligence. Can't argue that. Hackers are intelligent.
Actually, I can. I mean, you can look at Mafia Boy, some 13-year-old kid from Montreal, the prototypical script kiddie that got a hold of the program and said, gee, let me run this on eBay and Yahoo and Amazon.
Well, then he's not a hacker.
He's just stupid.
He lumped it all in.
He did attack something, so he's now an attacker.
You're right, and they did mention that. They did say hackers and crackers. Now, and there's another person. Who is this? Skate Heckenkamp, I believe, and his absurd defense. Oh, my word. That's, I don't, oh, poor guy. Yeah, I guess, okay, I guess there's, you know, dim bulbs in every group, but I think what this section, the characteristics section of this textbook, this chapter, means, well, I'll read it again. Intelligence, they quickly learn and adapt to technological innovations and processes. It doesn't mean that they, you know, they know exactly what to do in court. I guess that does cover Moppy Boy and little script kiddies like that.
I'm still in the belief that people like that are just very lonely and want to hug.
I think you're right. Now, arrogance. You know, I really don't see that anymore. Maybe it was true. Maybe it is true. I mean, there's so much to learn. It's almost infinite. It's hard to say, hey, you know, I'm better than you than this because somebody else could be better than you in something else. So it's...
Yeah, that's a little more enlightened view, I think, than most people take because, you know, part of the thing is, you know, that feeling of superiority because, you know, I know how to do this. I can, you know, I can get into this computer and you can't or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
I know how to do this. I can recompile my Linux kernel and you can't, you know, therefore I'm elite and you're not, you know.
You know, there is some sort of a I'm in high school and, you know, that all these football players, they're like, oh, I can bench 575 pounds. Not really, but, you know, just making up a number. Okay, I mean, I don't have anything to say. I can bench 175. I don't know. Not even that. I have nothing to brag about. I mean, if you really want to get into contest, I'll start bringing up computer subjects. Like, yeah, I can do this and this and this. Can you?
Right.
So
and that's
some sort of it.
So you're saying that they do it to make up for the fact that, you know, they don't have, you know, accomplishing feats in, like, physical strength and whatnot, but, hey, they're smart, and they can get into computers and whatnot. You know, the jocks out there can't, probably.
Well, I don't think it's compensation. I think it's straight up. You know, some guy can code an assembly, and he's better than you. But I don't find that. I never find that. I think people share what they know, and others like to learn from people who know more than them.
Wait a minute. Duel. You talked about, you know, your local 2600 meeting that you went to in your area rather than in my area, and wouldn't you tend to agree with the fact that you know, they were pretty standoffish and you know, elitist and arrogant and everything else because they didn't
No, there are actually other issues there that I'd rather not discuss on the show.
I use numbers instead of letters when I write my email, so I'm cooler than you. Sorry, the whole leet typing thing bugs me like crazy.
Yeah, me too. Next, egocentric. Their vocational and recreational lives evolve. Okay, definitely. I love computers and technology, and I like to mess with it as much as I can, read about it, watch Freedom Downtime. Like Rack said, guilty as charged. How about you, Condor?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, what else do I... I ride bikes, so I'm not good at that, really.
But you do that for fun, right? But computers are just so much fun. It's just... You know what? It's more... It's just... it's an avocation that we, as a group, as hackers, are probably a little more passionate about than others. Next, male-dominated. There's no question there. It is.
It's almost everybody else. I mean, what do politicians talk about a lot of times? Politics? And what do football players talk about? Football? I mean, it's kind of goes with the trade.
Actually, I thought politicians talked about interns and whether they were going to get more campaign donations.
That's right.
At the same time, though, for a girl, I mean, it's a great attribute sometimes. Sure, it's a male-dominated area, but just in the very, you know, girlish view, you know, 10 guys for every girl, you know.
Oh, yeah, so girls are very happy about the hacker culture.
Kind of like going to Alaska for a girl, huh?
That's right, or going to Ottawa for a woman. Let's see. We did did egocentric, male-dominated, elitist, view of self-superiority. Maybe, I don't know, I don't see it. Techno-abusive, aggressively criticize those who have less, I think these are outdated. I really don't think this is the truth. I don't think hackers today are techno-abusive.
Hanging out on IRC a lot.
I can barely hear you.
they might be hanging out on IRC too much.
Yeah, if they're hanging out on IRC, I don't think they're hackers. I mean, I don't see the point of IRC. I like to talk to people in real life, and I like to learn. I just, IRC, I don't see the point in. If they're techno-abusive in IRC, if they think hackers hang out on IRC, maybe they do. Maybe they're, I don't know.
Obviously not, because IRC can be very easily traced back. So if you're, for a good hacker,
sure.
I'd want to think, you wouldn't really want to be in a place where it's that obvious where you are currently located at.
Amen. I've even read an article tracking hackers on IRC. Next, collectors. Now, this is true. I know I've got stuff. I have information that I just have to have, and I don't do anything with it, and some of it I could do. Face it, you can do bad things with tools with information. And I have information, and somebody could say that I could do bad things with this information. But I don't. I just have it just to know that I do, or I don't know why.
All right, I have the same case, exactly. I think a lot of people do. My friend, we talked about this, I don't know, for a while. And he has around just 500 megs of this stuff, just stuff, like ebooks and stuff like that. I'm the same way. I just like to have the reassurance that I have the technology if I need it.
Right.
The information if I need it. I don't care if I don't use the, maybe the CIA training book or whatever like that that I found on LimeWire or anything else like that. I don't care if I'm not going to use it. I just like to have the reassurance that I do have it if I need it.
That's right. That's right. Next, little or no self-responsibility. Okay, this I've heard this before. They deface a website. Somebody defaces a website and blame it on the sysadmin for not securing it. So basically, shifting the blame. Is that psychological projection? No, yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. So, is that true? Little or no self-responsibility? I'd say... For irresponsible hackers or maybe attackers, yes, that is true.
I don't know. It's not my fault. My mother didn't love me. You know, I didn't. I didn't get the right kind of schooling. It's society's fault. So I'm not to blame.
Yeah. So do you blame the sysadmin?
I mean, that's the typical thing we're doing in the country a lot too. Is no one's taking responsibility anymore.
Yeah, but specifically. Do you blame the overworked, underpaid sysadmin for being a week late on a Microsoft patch, and IIS gets hacked, and they blame it on him? I think you're right. I think, you can't do that. You can't. You attack the site. You attack the server.
You made a choice because of the fact that patch wasn't put on there. It didn't somehow magically find its way to your system. And type in the IP address or the domain name of that machine that just happened to go on this program that just happened to get on your computer somehow too that allowed you to attack it. It didn't do that. You made a conscious decision. You typed those things in.
Okay, but it just becomes the point where it's just negligence, flat out negligence. Like a month, you don't put a patch on. That is just
right. But just because I leave the door open in my house, I forget to do that. It's
okay to get robbed.
Yeah, I get robbed. Someone comes in, it's like, well, he must have wanted me to do it. He didn't lock the door. I mean, that's bullshit.
It is.
Or it can just be to the point where you did lock the door and he broke into it and his excuses, well, he didn't lock the door good enough.
Right. I mean, it's not, people make a decision to do things and people need to take responsibilities for their decisions.
That's right. And I bet you anything, you can find the vulnerable website, you can know what to do, you can know the vulnerability in and out and not attack it. You can know everything. You say, yep, I can do it. I've got all the information. All I'd have to do is type this command and it'd be done, but not do it. Next, hypocrisy. They will widely distribute information they take from others, carefully guard access to their own. Okay,
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's true. Oh, God, I hate to admit it.
It's true.
I do it, for crying out loud. It's horrible.
No, you don't use, we've talked about this before, about having, your driver's license, having your social security number, and when you have to, if you ever write a check for something, they have your bank account, your social security number, your address, all this type of stuff, man, and that, I don't like turning over that much information to anybody.
Yeah, but if you get some juicy information on the telco, it'll definitely go up on the site, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Telcos aren't my area.
Well, not you particularly, but yeah, okay, so maybe there's a little hypocrisy. I can live with that. So,
personal information on the CEO's daughter or something like that? No, I wouldn't.
No, me neither. Me neither, definitely. But
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to post my social security number right on the internet, advertise it.
Well, exactly. You know what? You're right. Maybe there's degrees of this hypocrisy because, you know, why can't I know my cable and pair number? You know? They won't tell you.
No,
there are ways to find it, but why can't you know? They hide it. If I have it, I'm going to share.
I found information on, a Linux vulnerability. I'll release it. That information should be free because everybody else should know about it.
That's right.
They'll be found out eventually,
That's right. Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, so you know what? You're totally right, Condor. There's no way to equate, you know, a Linux vulnerability, you know, an IMLib, and your social security number being out on the internet for everybody to use. That was good. That was really good. I feel cleansed.
Was that a catharsis? You feel much better now?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Good. I'm fired up.
What?
Fired up. Is that it?
Fired up? No. There's a lot more. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's a segment of truth.
Oh, a large segment.
It was. It was a long segment. It was worth it, I think.
It's enjoyable.
Thank you. I think, Condor, that you'll enjoy the next segment even more because I want to talk about, my favorite again, SUSE 8. I have had so much fun. I cannot tell you listeners how much fun I've had just tweaking the themes, the look of KDE3 on SUSE 8. It's like playing the Atari 2600. It's like playing Bruce Lee on the Commodore 128 again. You know, it's so much fun. It's just pure, mind-numbing, blasting fun. And you know what? And it all leads to a point that this is a great time for Linux users. Again, SUSE 8, KDE3 being out. Red Hat 7.3 was just released. Mandrake 8.2, and Mandrake also has this special server edition with a hardened kernel. Every server you can think of.
To pay for it, right?
What's that?
To pay for it, right?
Yeah, it's like it's over $100.
I don't like Mandrake. I really don't.
Really? Yeah. Now, and not to mention they've got these wizard-like configurations for all these servers. And that's never, you've never really seen that before in retail stores. I mean, Linux is definitely reaching new heights and going further than it has before. This is a great time to use Linux. Sun Microsystems, their acceptance of Linux is increasing. Unbelievable. I mean, that's unbelievable to me.
But they're supposed to be merging or working on bringing Linux-like things into the Solaris kernel to make it easier for porting and everything else. So.
Yeah, I read about that. I mean, think about this. You know, Big Sun doing that kind of stuff. IBM was pimping Linux during the NBA playoffs. They had this basketball-like commercial, and there was a player with Linux on the back of his jersey and another guy with Unix, and it's unbelievable.
IBM? I saw that. And
yeah.
I want to get it on, a file.
Me too. I would love to have an AVI that.
Commercials are getting real cool. I really like it.
They are. You know, they've been pimping Linux for a long time. We'll give them credit. But to be on, national TV, the NBA playoffs, and having, Linux, big letters right on the screen, it's the world is changing. The world is definitely changing. Of course, most people watching say, what's that Linux stuff? You know, they don't know what the heck's going on.
And the evil empire continues to...
I think that's part of the timing thing, and that's so good about this. And there was another thing too, Apple came out with rack mount Macs running OS X, dual processor machines running OS X, which they say it's a Unix based kernel. I guess it's close enough. It's actually Mach based as their kernel, but with Microsoft kind of against the ropes, and the Fed's pounding on them for some of that stuff. This is a great time to have an alternative operating system.
It's going to be like the O.J. Simpson case. It's going to take 5 years or 2 years to decide.
Oh, hell, they've been FTC started their thing, probably about 10 years ago against Microsoft. And
it needs to be solved.
Well, I mean, they have enough lawyers, they have enough everything else, it's going to take a while.
It is. It's going to be a long, drawn-out case. There's a lot of money involved here. Big money stuff doesn't get decided quickly.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the thing, too, speaking of the Microsoft case, that's the nine states that are holding out against Microsoft, they hired someone to basically make a version of Windows without all the add-on stuff, the browsers and the media players and all
right,
that.
A stripped-down version.
What's that?
How big is the source?
Well, no, it's embedded Windows, Windows XP embedded for certain things. Doesn't have all that stuff. So he did some other things and pulled some things together and tweaked some things and had it available. And then Microsoft's response to that was, well, we're going to need more time. You know, this caught us by surprise. We're going to need more time. Well, the states decided to drop it because they didn't want this thing to drag out longer. But even just the threat of that was enough to upset them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They would hate to see a stripped-down version of Windows out in public. And they'd be, yeah, that would definitely be bad for Microsoft. So, again, a great... you know what? What else? Now, I know we talked about it in the past. What's going on with Debian? We need the... you know what? The Debian update. What's going on with Debian?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was talking to somebody else. What is it?
I love it how the show is just like, you know, second fiddle. So, what's going on with Debian right now, being the great time to be using Linux?
Well, they're not releasing it until they won't get release it on May 1st because of some reasons they might not be able to. I didn't find out the full details on it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Debian there.
That's okay. It's still a great time to be using Linux.
And by the way, rather than just Linux, I said alternative operating systems or Unix is I was talking about before. But got to make mention of this at our local 2600 meeting here. I was there. Condor was there. Duel wasn't there this time. But Condor, you were kind of like one of the few penguins there. Everybody else was little beasties around there. There was more BSD. Fans, myself included, than there were Linux fans.
Oh yeah. You know, there was this one guy in charge of AZ 2600. You know, he said he hates Red Hat, he hates everything, and he doesn't like Linux in general because it's just not good enough for him. Well, you know, the whole point of Linux is to make it better.
Well, but see, it's there's some fundamental differences in between them. And that's the part of it behind it is that they branched off from different points. And if you look back and look at the history, and again, corporate America kind of caused it to drag down. Basically, there's still a few lines of source code in BSD, Berkeley Systems Distribution, I think is what it stood for. But anyway, basically at Berkeley, they set out at writing a Unix like operating system without any Unix code. Well, Lockstream made sure that there was still some code in there that was from AT&T. AT&T battled against that for the longest time, and in the meantime, when this stuff basically couldn't be released because it was in the courts, that's when Linus and everyone got together and started working on the Linux kernel. Richard Stallman was already there with doing the stuff with all the GNU utilities, and they're still working on their kernel. But so it's kind of almost the same kind of end result, but. A little bit different plumbing underneath.
You know, Linux was made just as
speak up, Condor.
Linux was made as a project, just for fun, okay? And that's what it is remaining. BSD was really was bought or taken from Unix itself.
No, it was not taken from Unix. It was a project that was started out. I forget if it was Kernighan or Ritchie that took a sabbatical from AT&T and went to Berkeley. UC Berkeley and started teaching a system a class on writing operating systems, and at some point thereafter students there decided to try to write a Unix-like operating system without any Unix code. So that was started for the same thing. Now, have there been commercial distributions in that, Wind River and everything else? Absolutely. Just like, you know, there's commercialism of Linux with Red Hat and some of the others in that, and you know. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that's part of the thing with the GPL type of things is you have the freedom to do that, but there are certain other requirements that go along with those freedoms. But all I'm saying is that there are some fundamental underlying differences between the BSD flavor of things and the Linux flavor of things. And sometime even before that even is when the Mach, M-A-C-H, the Mach kernel kind of forked off out from BSD, and that's what Mac OS X is based on. So when Apple tends to play things a little bit free and loosen their ads, so when they say based on Unix, it really isn't. It was based on the Mach kernel, but it's probably close enough that all but purists would argue that point.
It's horrible.
Mac OS X?
Yeah.
You're insane. No.
What do you say?
It's on a microkernel. You know, I learned this, okay? Microkernels are a whole...
You're going to have to speak up.
I'm on the bad phone again.
Ah.
The bad phone.
Yes.
Bad phone.
Phone of badness.
Phony phone.
The phony phone.
Yes, yeah, phony phone. Okay. The microkernel, it's a whole bunch of little tiny kernels made, and it's all put together to form one big kernel. And with Linux, it's a monolithic kernel, which means the kernel is the kernel. It's one big kernel.
But you say that like it's a good thing, and see, I don't think that a monolithic approach to anything like that is a very good thing.
Well, that's actually what Linux is all about, a bunch of small, fleet, adept programs that work together.
But those are like the GNU utilities,
exactly.
All the external things.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's why Linux is,
That's true of Linux as well, and it's true of BSD. What Condor is talking about is actually the kernel code itself.
Well, I know, and that's why you were going to say, I'm assuming, that's what's good about that Mac OS X kernel, is that it does use a bunch of microkernels. It's much like, I'm making an analogy to the GNU utilities in Linux.
I think, Condor, weren't you saying, though, that having microkernels and having a bunch of little kernels was bad?
Yeah.
See, I don't agree with that.
Me neither.
Except extra CPU time, and I'm not going to argue with it on this bad phone, right?
Thank you. Well, regardless,
spoken here.
Regardless of these heated discussions, I have, if I didn't have to stream the show right now, the killer app for me, and killer being a bad thing, is Shoutcast. If I didn't have to stream the show, I would use Linux exclusively. It's fun. They say you log in, welcome to Linux, have fun, and you know what? It is.
It has a penguin. I mean, nothing is better than a penguin.
That's right. Can't beat penguins.
It's a little BSD beastie.
Oh. Yeah, he's cool. Hey, I actually downloaded the 4.5 ISO this weekend, so I'll be trying it out soon.
Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is that we'll see what it's like at H2K2, but at DEF CON, there's people walking around with T-shirts that basically, said F Red Hat.
Oh yeah.
And they have the little pictures of let's say, how can we put this BSD logo doing something nasty to the Tux Penguin logo?
Lovely. Now, how about Slackware? Will I still be kind of cool if I use Slack?
That's the thing. I mean, even though we're all doing these various distros and everything, and it's not exactly like the religious wars of Windows versus Macintosh.
Yeah.
There's enough little infighting between the various things. Can't we all just get along?
Amen. Amen.
I think that BSD and Linux should get along and start being the common enemy, Windows.
That's the common enemy,
they
that's right.
They all have to fight Windows.
The greater evil. Alright, I want to make some phone calls. Condor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Condor, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah, we missed you. I miss your input.
We miss you.
And thank you for doing the file of the week.
Yes.
I really enjoy the latest files. So, Condor, you going to be joining us next week?
Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right, I'll see you later.
Take care.
Later, man. Okay. Now, maybe I should have a little segment of crap here because I got my new, my new set of checks. I used to have my address on my checks, my actual physical address, but I've since changed that and gotten my P.O. box in there. I've got a P.O. box and put that address on my checks. So I got my new order. Now, when you get your fat little box of checks, when you get to the end, about, five checks, before the last one, there's a little sheet that says, oh, time to reorder, get your new checks, that's great, thank you for the reminder. Not anymore. Now, they stick advertisements about 25 checks in. Listen to this. And guess what they're pimping? Some crappy, genuine leather checkbook holder. What do they call it? Oh, pardon me. The classic leather checkbook cover. Ah. Available in black or wine.
Can I read it?
It means red. Yeah, read this. Read this right here. Now guess what you get if you buy this, if you buy this crappy little thing. Read what they get.
Free 10 minutes domestic calling with your online purchase of a classic leather checkbook cover or any other accessory item. Plus delivery and acceptable tax. Price is subject to change. Allowed 2 weeks to delivery. Offer expires July 31st, 2002.
That's wonderful. So, what a bunch of crap. They stick advertising now in your checks. How long before you'll get your checks at a discounted price because they're going to have a little advertisement on each one? You know, your check's going to have your bank logo, and right next to that, the Pepsi logo. It's coming. It's coming.
Hey, I mean, what can you say? They've got, advertising everywhere at the, in ballparks and everything else, and then they've even done some of that virtual stuff where they actually didn't have, I don't know if you remember seeing this, too, there was something, it may have even been the Spider-Man movie, but there was some billboards, that are owned up and owned by the building owners and whatever, and they digitally replaced the ads that was on there with, like product placements in the movie. So there was some lawsuit going on about the company saying, hey, that's not fair. You were using the fact that you were using our building, but we're not getting any of that revenue stream from this advertisement that you get.
I don't know. I liked it better off when, I like it the checkbooks where if you purchase them, the money goes towards a good cause. I actually have one of those where my checkbooks that I purchased, the good cause went towards breast cancer. I have a friend and part of the profits went towards, places to help with breast cancer. I have a friend, money partially went towards Animal Humane Association, and it used to be for a good thing. Now it's free, advertise, get, nah.
Right, yeah. That's a totally different story. That is when they probably asked you, and you said, yes, I would love to donate. I would love to be charitable. This, they're just arbitrarily sticking advertisements for their crappy checkbook.
Free 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, but you get free 10 minutes domestic calling, and you know what? That's what Peak Managers, and you know what? We are going to call today and ask about other special offers. That all this was to segue into calling about the genuine bargain on a genuine leather checkbook cover. So, Rex will be right back. We're going to find out right now what kind of offers they have.
So that we may better serve you, please have your account information available. It is located at the bottom of your check or reorder form.
Well, you're nuts.
Customer service representative, press 0. To place a reorder with no changes using our automated service, press 1. To inquire on a recently placed order, press 2. Or visit our website at www.clarkamerican.com.
Okay, I'm going to press 0, talk to the customer service representative. I want to know about their other special offers.
As a commitment to our quality service, your call may be recorded.
Ooh.
Ask about our special offers on rush delivery, leather checkbook covers, and accessories.
Accessories?
They're really pimping that checkbook cover, man.
I guess.
It's leather.
Cows have died for that.
Service Line Plus is dedicated to providing you with quality service. The next available representative will be with you momentarily.
They probably have a million of these things warehoused somewhere, straight from the PRC, that's People's Republic of China.
Little children make them and earn 5 cents a week.
Once they hung up on us. Hello?
Your call is important to us. A representative will be with you momentarily.
See? Their call is important to us, so we should wait. I feel special now.
You know what? I think we'll be waiting all night. I bet you they're closed, and they're not telling us.
Oh. Can we call the other number?
We've got a couple other numbers to call. We want to give them a chance. Plus, I want to know about their other special offers. I want to know about accessories. What kind of freaking accessory can you have for a checkbook?
A check purse to hold
a
checkbook.
Whatever.
Apologize for the delay. Please stay on the line, and the next available representative will be with you momentarily.
Oh, they're probably close.
Holy moly.
Not so friendly and helpful.
She sounds like...
Okay, I've had enough.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Rax, you there?
Yeah.
You're gonna like. Oh yeah, I'll save my number to the last. But you and Mary Chan, being the geeks that you are, being the Star Trek geeks that you are gonna love this.
We prefer the politically correct term, Trekkies.
Trekkies, right? Okay.
Trekkers, come on, keep up.
Trekkers.
I'm sorry, I'm a Trekkie person.
I like Trekkers better, actually. Not that I am one. Now,
yeah, sure.
Earthlink is now providing. Get this, a Star Trek ISP. It's called, damn, I don't know what it's called, TrekLink or TrekNet.
Or Trek.net, I thought.
Yeah, that's the web address. But, that's unbelievable. So you go, you got this whole portal, and it's got all, it's like a whole Star Trek theme. It looks like the, you know, the Enterprise console. It's a, you know, it's got little communicators that open and beep when you have email. I mean, that is just too much. Okay, a Star Trek ISP. Now you can call a number, 866-TREK-LINK, to find out more about it. So we're going to call that right now.
Yeah.
Be right back, Rex. Yay.
Yes, yay. What's yay?
I'm going through AT&T for this one. Star Trek Internet Service provided by Earthlink.
Now, is that the normal NC Enterprise or the NCDM Enterprise?
Hold on, I got to dial it here.
If your call was placed to a telephone number within the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean Islands, press or say 1. Using touch tones, please enter the area code and telephone number that you were trying to reach when the problem occurred.
Cool. TrekLink, that's it.
Sorry. The number you entered is not valid for this service.
What?
Request credit for call.
All right, screw you.
700.
Hang up.
900 numbers.
Rax?
Yeah.
All right. I'll dial direct. TrekLink.
Is Rax still there?
Rax, you're there, right? I knew it.
I've
gotten good at this three-way stuff.
Thank you for calling StarTrek.net by Earthlink. For information on purchasing StarTrek.net services for your residence, press 1.
Oh, yeah.
If you are a StarTrek.net subscriber needing technical support, press 2. If you are a StarTrek.net subscriber needing customer service, press 3.
Star Trek Trekkers don't need technical support, so we're going to find out about their service. Pressing 1.
I'm disappointed.
Please hold while we connect your call.
Make it so, number 1.
I'm disappointed I can't get it for my business.
I want the Star Trek theme to come on in the background, you know? And
I want... I want Star Trek T3.
You know, Wesley Crusher's going to be on Enterprise.
No!
Wow,
not Wesley!
He's gonna time travel back and be on the bridge of the original Enterprise.
Well,
gee whiz.
No one likes Wesley. God.
Gee whiz. I'm gonna set up my PVR for that.
Wesley, boy genius.
actually, if you go to his site, he's you know not quite as much of a jerk as I thought he was.
I never thought he was a jerk.
No, I just never liked his character because it's like, you know, little boy genius saves the day every other episode.
Okay, we're gonna be helped soon.
Random
enough
Wesley.
Star Trek.
Can we on Jar Jar?
No. Hello, ma'am? Sir? Bingo. I'm talking.
Okay.
I was planning on talking. Hello?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could barely hear you. Got a bad phone line tonight. I've had some trouble with AT&T, my provider. I had a couple of questions about the StarTrek.net ISP.
Oh, okay. Bear with me just one moment. Let me get our customer service on the line, and they'll be able to take care of that.
Oh, who did I reach?
You actually reached sales.
Sales, okay. I just have questions right now.
Bear with me just one moment.
Sure.
many of your customer service requests can be completed online by using our personal support center?
They can.
Please point your browser to start.earthlink.net and click on Support at the top of the page. Our secured server enables you to process many of your account maintenance functions, such as changing your credit card, adding a mailbox, or changing your password. For quality control purposes, your call may be monitored or recorded at any time.
Over subspace channels.
Provide the customer service agent with account information, such as your username, password, and the last four digits of your credit card number.
And plan it.
Thank you for calling Earthlink Customer Service. This is Jennifer. May I have your email address?
Actually, Jennifer, I do not have an email address. I just have questions about the StarTrek.net ISP, please.
Okay, sure. That's actually a different department.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What other department? I see I was at sales, and they transferred me to customer service. So where do I go now?
Give me just a moment. I'll get that number for you.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Department that handles StarTrek.net. So this is general customer service for regular Earthlink customers.
Okay. I called 866-TREK-LINK.
I transferred over here?
Yes, ma'am.
It looks like they didn't transfer you to customer service for Star Trek, but let me get that number for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I can connect you to that department if you'd like.
Yeah, do you have the number?
Actually, it's 866-TREK-LINK.
Oh.
Sounds like you spoke to sales and then they pressed the wrong extension and sent you over to regular customer.
Ah, okay. Yeah, if you could transfer me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, sure. It'll be just a moment. Take care and have a great evening.
Thank you, too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Excuse me, ma'am? She sounded hot like 6 of 9.
7 of 9.
Whatever.
Paul.
Who?
The Vulcan one. The 7 of 9 is hotter, if you ask me. It's a haircut. I'm sorry. If you got her a new haircut, she's
right,
really
enough.
Good.
There we go.
Current hold time is approximately 3 minutes.
I gotta turn it down. It's loud.
Dr. Kinder Plus.
That's Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Ooh.
Thank you for calling Earthlink Customer Service. This is Bill. How can I help you?
Hi, Bill. My name is Bill also, believe it or not. I actually have a couple of questions about StarTrek.net ISP, please.
Mm-hmm.
First, how much is it a month?
It's $21.95.
Okay, the same as the Earthlink.net, I'm assuming. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And second, do I have to use your web portal? Do I have to go through the whole, you know, enterprise console electronics communicator thing, or can I just go wherever I want when I please?
All right, what happens with Star Trek? We send out a CD for that has the software on it.
Okay. Is it going to fully take over my computer and turn it into a beeping, blooping, you know, Star Trek scanner?
No.
Oh, okay, good, good. So basically, if I was a big fan of Star Trek, I could get this CD and then have more Star Trek in my browser and my internet experience.
Right.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Sounds excited to be there.
Man.
I love my job.
Wait, are we still there, sir? Oh, okay.
I forgot.
So there you go, hackers. Lead hacksaws who are Star Trek geeks, go ahead and get the Star Trek ISP. That was actually, you know what? That was an adventure. I just went where no...
We went where no hacker
has gone. Oh, man, you took it. I was where no phone freak had gone before. Isn't there someone you wanted to call?
I want to meet Paul.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Dude, just watch the new show. She's hot.
The new show. Oh. With the full lifts. The Angelina Jolie lifts, right?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Yeah, you're not kidding. You are not kidding. Well, listeners, I hope you enjoyed the segment of truth. I hope you enjoyed our phone calls this evening. I definitely enjoyed having Condor back and his inattentiveness. You know, it's kind of endearing. Rax, I can never tell you how enjoyable it is to have you. I really appreciate you being on the show.
We love you, Rex.
Oh,
Sure, that's a very nice point.
Wait a minute! You know, I've never seen Rats and Mr. Rogers in the same place at the same time.
So cool.
I've got a great sweater collection.
Mary Chan, thanks for being on the show again. You know, where's Skylar? We haven't seen her in a while.
Remember, she has that job and boyfriend issues.
She has a job and boyfriend issues. That's right.
See, so she's luckier than me. I have a job, no boyfriend, though. Quite annoying.
Bye. I have a job and no boyfriend also.
Oh, sorry. We should get you a nice boyfriend.
No,
hey, Raps, are you available?
No. I like women. I just got out of a... You know, and the listeners don't want to hear this crap. I was just engaged. I just got out of an engagement, by the way.
Oh,
I was
going to
get married. That's scary. But you know what? She got in the way of my hacking.
Yeah, little dual parallels are running around.
No, no way. No reproducing.
Daddy,
she got
Daddy,
in the way of my
Daddy,
freaking
Daddy,
and hacking.
Get the black box.
Hit the bricks, sister. I'm Dual Parallel. This is Radio Freak America 12. Be the media. Rax.
Knowledge free.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, come on, I have to say
I can't believe I didn't do that. Later.